Good morning. Today, our scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We give thanks for God's word. I also want to give thanks for you and for our worship band. They did an awesome job, as always. We appreciate them. Great job. We're so privileged and honored to have them that lead us in our worship every Sunday, because they do an awesome job. And it's good to have you here today. And those of you who are online, we welcome you as well. As we come together after, it's been a tough week, hasn't it, for everybody. I don't care where you are on their political spectrum. This has been an exhausting time for us as a people, as a country. But we gather here in this place to proclaim that God is God, that God is still on the throne. And no matter what happens, we don't place our hope in the powers and principalities of this world or who's on the president or the kings or wherever else. We place our hope, we find our faith on Jesus Christ, that God is our rock. God is our salvation. He is our rock in times of trouble. He is the one we hold on to. He brings us salvation and all the things that bring hope to us. That is to God. And so we gather here today to proclaim that, to renew our faith in that, in spite of what happens in the world around us. And as we've heard this reading from God's word, let us pause a moment and ask Holy Spirit to help us in this understanding for our lives today. Will you join me? God, it's a difficult time in our nation and our world. And yet we know, Lord, that our hope is in you. And we pray today will be a day of renewing that hope, of refocusing ourselves on that hope. I pray that as we hear your word, and we just thank you, God, for your word, that is a light into our path, no matter what's going on in the world around us. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would enable me to proclaim your word in a way that brings glory to you, and that we're all drawn closer in our relationship with you and our walk with you, that we may be the people you call us to be, God. Lord, I believe that you're calling us, the church, to be a light of the nations, to be that ray of hope that shows people a unity around our love for you, our love for one another, and our love for our neighbor. That is what's most important. So renew our faith, God, today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But today we are continuing in a series of sermons that we began a few weeks ago entitled Finding Freedom. And we're talking about how we might be set free from the things that bind us and hold us back in life, from experiencing the life that God created us to experience. And in previous weeks, I have mentioned that in Jesus' very first sermon, he told his listeners that he came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. And this promise is ours to claim. I mean, Jesus wants more than anything else to set you free from whatever is keeping you in bondage or holding you back from experiencing the life that he created for you. And so far, we've talked about how we can dare to have hope again. In the midst of the circumstances we live in, we can find hope. God can set us free from our despair. We also talked about how we can be set free from emotional bondage, and how we can experience every day the freedom that God has to offer us. Today, we're going to talk about breaking free from the shackles that are created by the opinions of others. The opinions of others. We're going to be talking about how to break free from our need for approval. The need to ask the question always, you know, well, I wonder what they'll think. I wonder what others are going to say. Or I wonder what the opinion of others, how that's going to impact my standing in the community, whatever. We're always worried about what other people think. Anybody else struggle with this? I mean, I have to confess that as a pastor whose every action and decision is always in the spotlight of public opinion, I have struggled with this personally over the years. But I don't think I'm alone. I think we all struggle with this to some degree or another, the need for approval. And when it comes to breaking free from the undue influence of others and from this need for approval, I've often found that the Apostle Paul is a great example to look to. In the Apostle Paul, today we recognize his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. We recognize that the words that he wrote to the churches of his day were given to him by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, and they are now God's word for us today. And so we recognize him as the Apostle Paul. We name our churches after him in many places and so on. But during his lifetime, the consensus about Paul's life was far from unanimous. I mean, there were people, both Christians and non-Christians, who couldn't stand Paul. They stood against him. They accused him of preaching a false gospel. They accused him of preaching easy believism or cheap grace. They accused him of being anti-Jewish, anti-law, anti-Old Testament, along with many other things. And even when he was put in jail, many of the Christian leaders celebrated the fact that he was incarcerated. I mean, Paul learned early on in his ministry that if all of this was about a popularity contest, he didn't stand a chance. He was not going to win at that. In fact, in his final letter, written in a prison cell to his friend Timothy, he says these words: "At my first offense, no one came to support me. All deserted me." And he goes on to talk about those who turned against him, those who hurt him personally, brought great harm to him that he trusted. And yet, in this letter, as you read it, you hear a word of victory. You hear him talking about hope. It's a letter of victory. And I'll tell you why that's what you read here. It's because early on in Paul's ministry, Paul nailed down this defining principle that guided him to the very end of his life. It was something he wrote in his letter to Galatians, one of the very first letters that he wrote. It's that passage that we have before us today. "Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ." You see, it was Paul's determination to please God and no one else that fueled the fire of his efforts for those 30-something years as apostle of Jesus Christ. And when you read about Paul's journey, if you notice that in his journeys that he went to, he was kicked out of almost every town he went to. He was run out of almost every church that he tried to preach in. And so I have to imagine this was a question Paul asked himself over and over again. It's a question that we have to ask ourselves as well. Am I seeking the favor of people, or am I seeking the favor of God with my life? So today we're going to talk about how we can break free from the bondage of outside opinions, the steps that we can take from breaking free from the wrongful, undue influence and actions of other people. Because here's the thing, as long as you're a slave to what other people think about you, then you're never really free. You know, sometimes you come across a book that the title of the book makes it almost to where you don't even need to read the book itself. I mean, it's just so good, the title. And a good example of this, the title just says it all. It's a book written by Terry Cole Whitaker. The title is, "What You Think of Me is None of My Business." You know, just, I love her comment. And she goes on to say in her book, "The next time you get nervous about others' opinions, look them mentally in the eye and say, what you think of me is none of my business." Now, I don't agree with everything Mrs. Cole Whitaker says in her book. She and I are not on the same page theologically, but I think she's got something very right here, and that is, do not allow the opinions of others to rule your life. Do not allow the opinions of others to limit your life. God created you for much more than that. And God's promise is that we can live a life of freedom from the undue influence of others. And it really comes down to getting past this desire or this need for approval. The need for approval. Have you ever noticed how many times in your life you have been limited from living life to its fullest or pursuing some dream or doing something you really felt called to do. You've been limited because you're simply afraid that someone else might not approve. I think we've all experienced that. There is an undue influence that we often let other people have on our lives. And if you find yourself feeling trapped by the undue influence of others, what other people think, what other people do or say about you, then today we're going to consider how we can get past that way of thinking, because I think it's very important. And the first step I think we need to take in order to become set free from this undue influence of others is that you need to become immune to undue criticism. I think it was Elbert Hubbard who said it first. He said the only way to avoid criticism is to say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. But then again, you'd be criticized for saying nothing, doing nothing, and being nothing, right? I mean, you can't win. You're going to get criticized either way. It's just a part of life. And let's face it, most criticism is unfair, isn't it? It's unfair. For instance, a few years ago, the Seattle Seahawks were playing the New England Patriots. And they were 1 yard and 1 minute away from winning the Super Bowl. And they were on the goal line. And instead of running the ball, like everybody says should have happened, the coach for Seattle, Pete Carroll, called a pass play. And it was intercepted in the end zone. Every football fan remembers this play. The Seahawks lost the game, and the Patriots won, of course. And after that, all of the pundits, all of the armchair critics, they just ripped Coach Carroll to shreds over this. One commentator called it the worst call in Super Bowl history. Now, I am neither a Seattle or a New England Patriots fan, so I don't have a dog in that hunt. But, if the Saints would have done something like that, it'd been a whole different story. But I found the criticism to be quite interesting. Because all of the critics had one thing in common. And that is, they were not in the game. They were not a part of the decision-making process that was going on behind that call, whatever was chosen. But they were absolutely positive that if they had been in charge, they would have done a much better job. They'd have made a different call, and so on. And that's exactly what critics do, don't they? They're not participants. They're not doers. They're watchers. They're spectators. In other words, they don't have any skin in the game. They just sit in the stands or they sit on their sofa with their beer and chips and they criticize. It's the easiest job in the world to criticize others, isn't it? And you see this happening in the Bible many times. I love the story of David and Goliath. Remember that story where the giant Goliath is taunting the army of Israel days in and days out? He's coming out every day saying, "Come on, you cowards, somebody come out and fight me." Of course, nobody had the courage to go out and fight him. And finally, David, a little young, scrawny, teenage shepherd boy, shows up and says, "I think I can take him, or at least I'm willing to try." But do you remember what his older brother, his own brother, said to him? He said, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" And then he goes on to say, "What about the sheep you're supposed to be taking care of back home? I know you. You're conceited. Your heart is wicked. You're just here to watch the fight." Now, David could have been demoralized by that. He could have second-guessed himself and said, maybe my brother's right. Maybe I'm not the right guy for this job. Maybe I just need to go back home and take care of the sheep, like my brother said. But he didn't. He picked up 5 small stones and he took care of Goliath. But David's older brother is a perfect example of a critic. And this has been duplicated over and over again for thousands of years. He wasn't brave enough to enter the fight himself. But that didn't stop him from criticizing anyone else who had the courage to even consider it. Here's what I'm saying. Don't let the criticism of others, the critical opinions of others, hold you back in life. See the critics for what they really are: petty spectators. You may not slay all the Goliaths that you come across in your life, but at least you can know that you tried, which is a lot more than most critics can say. I love what Winston Churchill says. He says, "So long as I'm acting from duty and conviction, I am indifferent to taunts and jeers. I think they will probably do me more good than harm." We have to let that be our attitude. You have to seek to make yourself immune to undue criticism. And recognize there's a big difference between undue criticism and constructive criticism. We can all benefit from constructive criticism that's given to us out of a spirit of love. Learn to determine the difference and try to make yourself immune from the undue criticism. The second thing I think we can do to break free from undue influence from others is to try to do away with comparisons. You need to do away with comparisons. When you compare yourself to others, that often creates a sense of envy within you, among many other things. None of them are good. Recently, I read about a woman who was having a difficult time at the high school reunion that she attended. She graduated college, and after college, she became a missionary, and she spent the last decade of her life as a missionary in Indonesia, ministering to the poor there. And she really believed that this is what God had called her to do. This was a very important work. But after visiting with her high school friends at this reunion, some odd feelings began to emerge within her. She actually began to feel ashamed of who she was and what she had done with her life. She said that, you know, most of her friends she discovered were married. They were, many of them had children now. They had exciting and impressive careers, and they had arrived at the point in their life where they were now starting to make a lot of money. So she watched as they drove up in their brand new SUVs and their sports cars, and she listened to them talk about how they were building their homes and how they were taking vacations to Europe and so on. And she said, "The more I heard, the more ashamed I felt. I was ashamed for the decisions that I had made, which had led me nowhere. Ashamed that I'm in my 30s and broke, and that I don't own a home or a car. I have no husband, no children. My job is my life, but it doesn't pay very well, and I don't often see the results I want to see. And then when my friends ordered drinks and I didn't drink with them, they started making jokes at my expense, calling me Sister Carolyn. For the first time in my life, I was ashamed to be a Christian, and I was ashamed of what my life had become." She said after that experience, she just felt depressed for many days afterwards, which isn't surprising. As Solomon said, envy makes the bones rot. But she goes on to say that after she struggled with these feelings for several days, that finally, in a moment of great clarity, she remembered these words of the Apostle Paul, the words that we have before us today. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You see, nothing good comes out of trying to compare yourself to others. Nothing good comes out of that. It will work against you every time. If you're better off than they are, then it's going to lead potentially to the sin of pride. If they're better off, they're more accomplished or more successful than you, then that's going to lead you to feeling shame or envy. None of these things are good. So like Paul, you have to decide once and for all, whose approval are you going to live for? You have to realize that they are on their journey in life and you are on your journey in life, and this is not comparing apples to apples. It never is. And so if their success brings them more recognition than you, you cannot measure your life by that. A similar thing happened to the disciples in the Gospel of Mark, disciples of Jesus. You remember they were arguing among themselves as to who of them was the greatest. And Jesus overheard them and he called them out on it. He said, in effect, look, if you want to be great, then you need to focus on serving other people instead of trying to build yourself up or put yourself above others, because that's what matters most to me. His exact words were these. He said, whoever wants to be first must be last of all. And servant of all. If you want to be set free from the need for approval of others and from undue influence, then you need to stop comparing yourself to other people. It never ends up well. You have to focus on what God is calling you to do with your life. Focus on who God is calling you to serve in your life. Live for the audience of one, because His opinion is really the only opinion that matters. The last step I want to talk to you about of breaking free from the undue influence of others is that you need to be willing to grant others forgiveness. Forgiveness. And this is a little different than merely being worried about what other people think of you. Because oftentimes, people's unfair criticism comes in the shape of something more than just mere words. Sometimes it comes as an attack. Sometimes it comes as a power play that people are trying to use to take advantage of you. Sometimes it comes as people just treat you as if you're nothing, a doormat, or they mistreat you as a way to better themselves. One example of this is the story that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about Michael Morton, who was put in prison by a corrupt prosecutor who has since then been disbarred. And Morton said that in the early years of his incarceration, he spent a lot of time planning in detail how he was going to get revenge on those people who had put him in prison wrongly. And then he has a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life was forever changed. Then he began to forgive everyone who had ever harmed him. He forgave everyone who had turned against him. He forgave those who thought the worst of him, including his own family. He forgave them all. And he was able to do that because he understood something that, you know, Corrie Ten Boom talked about once. She was one also who had been unjustly and wrongly imprisoned by the Nazi regime. And later in her life, she wrote these words, "Forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to realize the prisoner is you." It's like that old saying, harboring resentment, trying to hold on to anger, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It never works that way. We are always the ones who suffer when we have a spirit that is unwilling to forgive. And I'm not talking about justifying their actions. I'm not talking about ignoring what they did. I'm talking about taking steps with God's help. It only happens with God helping you to take those steps to be set free from the consuming pain that comes from being unwilling to forgive others. It is to be set free from them having power over your thoughts, power over your emotions, your behavior, knowing that God will ultimately be their judge. So to be set free from undue influence of others who have harmed you, you have to be willing to take that step of forgiving, granting them forgiveness. So if you can't make the next move in your life because you're worried about being criticized, then those critics have power over you and you're still in chains. If you can't appreciate God's blessings in your life because you're filled with envy and jealousy over the success of another person, then that person has power over you, and you are still in chains. If you're hanging on to hurts that have been caused at the hand of somebody else, that person has power over you. You need to forgive them. You need to set the prisoner free, which is you. This is why Paul says, "Forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ forgave you." You see, if you continue to yield to the fear of criticism, the foolishness of envy, the bitterness of unforgiveness, then you're always going to be a prisoner to what others think about you, what others say about you, what others do. And that's not how God wants us to live. And if you listen long enough to those undue voices around you, of criticism and opinions, you'll begin to believe what they say about you. And eventually you'll begin to treat yourself in the way that they treat you. Again, this is not how God wants us to live. What I believe God wants you to hear today is that if you want to find the freedom to live the life that God created you to live, if you want to make a difference in this world, the difference that God wants you to make in this world, then you have to learn to ignore those undue, critical voices around you. Don't give them power that they don't deserve. In fact, you can say to the world around you what the lady said, Terry Cole Whitaker, in her book, what you think of me is none of my business. And you can say that because you're not trying to seek the favor of others. You're seeking the favor of God. You're not trying to seek the approval of others. You're seeking to please your Heavenly Father. Because His opinion is really the only one that matters. Listen, our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus Christ in this world to let you know that you are loved as you are. And He sent His Son to set you free. Free from sin and shame. Free from your past. Free from your habits and addictions, your failures and your defeats. He sent His Son to set you free from the tyranny of undue opinions of others. He did all of that so that you might experience, set free to experience the life He created for you. And so embrace the freedom. Accept the freedom. Live in the freedom that God has for you today. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we confess that too often we listen too much to the opinion of others. We're so worried about others and what they think, what they might think, that it leaves us not doing what we should do. We begin to see ourselves through the eyes of others. And so we are limited in our life, our decisions, by others. We know that's not how You call us to live. God, if we're going to make a difference in this world for You, especially in the day that we're living in now, we have to begin to see ourselves as You see us. We have to begin to live for that audience of one. So, God, I pray that You would help us to do that. Bring us to a reckoning, a realizing that only You matters. Only our life for You matters. So, Lord, empower us with Your Holy Spirit. Grant us mercy and forgiveness where we fail. But help us to each day, from this moment on, seek to follow You, to live for You, to please You, and to be the approval of You above all else. So that this world around us might be changed, that we could be that light unto the nations around us, that our love for You and our love for others and our love for our neighbor could bring a unity, a healing. So Lord, we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.